Yasodhanandana Vrajajananjana Yasodhanandana Vrajajananjana Yamunate Ravanachyate Yamunati Ravanachyate Jai Ho Radha Ho Madhava Kunya Vihare Jai Radho Madhava Kunya Vihare Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Osatara Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanan Abhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnavan Gajai Namacharya Shidharidas Thakur Gajai Purim Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasili Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopika Vana Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gajai Vrindavanam Gajai Maturidam Gajai Jagannatha Swami Gajai Yamunamai Gajai Srimati Lasadevi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Budle. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Shunyavadi. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 32nd chapter, texts 11 to 12. Just want to check one thing. Make sure we're streaming on Facebook. Yes, we are. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva Vaiha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ta Samadaya Kalinja Nirvisha Puranang Vibhu Vikasat Kunda Mantara Surabhi Anila Shatpadam. So we're just going to do the first verse responsively, but the second verse I'll read by myself after we've done the first verse. Taksamadaya Kalinja Nirvisha Puninam Vibhu Vikasat Kunda Mandara Surabjan Nila Shatpadam Taksamadaya Kalindi Taksamadaya Kalinja Nirvisha Puninam Vibhu Vikasat Kunda Mandara Surabhyan Nila Shatpadam Tatsamadaya Kalinja Nirvisha Puninam Vibhu Vikasat Kunda Mandara Surabhyan Nila Shatpadam. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'll just read the next text, and then we'll do the word-by-word synonyms. Asarat chandram shu sandoha dvashta dosha tamashivam krishnaya hasta karadla chitta komala valukam. So you can repeat. Ta, those gopis. Samadaya, taking. Kalinjaha of the Yamuna. Nirvisha, entering upon. Puranam, the bank. Vibhu, the Almighty Supreme Lord. Vikasat, blooming. Kundamandara, of Kunda and Mandara. Flowers, yeah. It was on the next line. Surabhi, fragrant. Anila, with the breeze. Satpadam, with bees. Sharat, autumnal. Chandra, of the moon. Amshu, of the rays. Sandoha, by the abundance. Dvasta, dispelled. Dosha, of the night. Tamaha, the darkness. Shivam, auspicious. Krishnaya, of the river Yamuna. Because it's blackish like Krishna. Hasta, like hands. Tarala, by her waves. Achyuta, collected. Komala, soft. Valukam, sand. Okay. So the translation is, the Almighty Lord then took the gopis with him to the bank of the Kalindi, who with the hands of her waves had scattered piles of soft sand upon the shore. In that auspicious place, the breeze, bearing the fragrance of blooming kunda and mandara flowers, attracted many bees, and the abundant rays of the autumn moon dispelled the darkness of night. So you can repeat. The Almighty Lord then took the gopis with him to the bank of the Kalindi, who with the hands of her waves had scattered piles of soft sand upon the shore. In that auspicious place, the breeze, bearing the fragrance of blooming kunda and mandara flowers, attracted many bees, and the abundant rays of the autumn moon dispelled the darkness of night. So there's no purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, so I'm going to speak a little, and then we'll read the commentaries by the Acharyas and speak a little bit about that. So Om Gana Timiranda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasbai Shri Gurave Namaha. So one thing I noticed here when I was reading this verse is that it's quite poetic. You know, it's very like the Kalindi with the hands of her waves had scattered piles of soft sand upon the shore. You know, it's a very poetic way of saying things. But I was thinking, this is more than just poesy. Because it, in the material world, yeah, you'll find many expressions, like if you read poetry, which I did when I was young, you'll find many expressions like that that personify different aspects of the material creation, especially when you're talking about how the moon deals with lovers. You know, like 2 days ago there was Valentine's Day, and it was like full moon, or actually wasn't quite full moon, just the day before the full moon. So you find the personification, like a poetic personification of different elements of the material creation, and it's quite a poetic expression, and you know, it's very beautiful, of course, if you've studied poetry. But in this particular case, it's not simply poetic. It's that the Yamuna, the Kalindi, and she's actually described it, which is really interesting in this verse, as Krishnaya of the river Yamuna, because she's actually blackish, like Krishna is actually doing this deliberately. The Yamuna, and Yamuna is a person, which is really interesting. And not only is the Yamuna a person, the waves are persons, the sand is a person, the breeze, here's another expression, the Anila with the breeze, Kunda Mandara flowers are persons. The Chandra is a person. Sat Padam, that means with the bees are persons. The Amshu, the rays of the moon are persons. You know, it's really interesting how all these different personalities are being described and assisting Radhakrishna. Like we were talking about the other day, where we were talking about, you know, Shantaras. Not that they're all Shantaras, I mean, some of them are Dasha, like that. But everyone, or every entity in the spiritual world is serving the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. That's the description. And they're doing it deliberately, and in addition, it's all organized by Vrindadevi. So she's like the conductor, or the person who makes the scenes for everything. She's saying, all right, now Kalindi, you make some nice soft sands so that Krishna and the gopis, they can walk on the soft sands. Okay, bees, do your thing. Okay, breeze, do your thing. Okay, flowers, give your scent out. And just make a nice scene for Radha and Krishna. So this was the initial impression I got from reading this particular verse. And then, anyway, so now we'll read the commentaries. Actually, there's more. Actually, before I read the commentaries, okay. Something else struck me, too. That we read about all these things, and from our perspective, my perspective, can't speak for anyone else, it's hard to understand the emotional intensity of these things, of the gopis and with Krishna. Because, you know, somehow or other, I have a male body in this life. And, you know, our consciousness is actually conditioned upon by the body, isn't it? So it's just very hard to understand emotional intensity. You know, love, romance, all right, so what? You know, sometimes people talk about what, like again, Valentine's Day and everything like that. And it's just like something that I just... Even materially, I can't comprehend what to speak or spiritually comprehend. But the interaction between the gopis and Krishna is a super intense, on a super intense level. And of course, the separation they experienced before that we were reading previously in previous chapters is super intense. And I was always trying to understand this super intense relationship between Krishna and the gopis. And then I came across something that really helped me understand it in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was really pointed out to me how by reading the Bhagavatam from the first canto to the 10th, you can actually understand the 10th better. Now I'm gonna recite some verses from the 15th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 15th chapter, there are emotions there that I can actually relate to. Why can I relate to those emotions? Because it's Arjuna who is speaking about Krishna, his friend, and feeling separation from Krishna's friend. and the intensity. So I'm just looking or reading this particular chapter, and it just really strikes me in my heart, you know, because, like, again, you know, because of my conditioning in this material world, you know, his friendship and separation from friends. And, you know, when I was reading this, I was just, like, overwhelmed, just thinking, you know, being able to relate, because, you know, it's very relatable. And then I was able to begin to at least project or understand or, like, have an inkling of what the gopis are feeling in relationship to Krishna. So I'm going to read some of these verses, and it's quite emotional, because Arjuna previously in the Bhagavatam has gone to Dwarka to visit Krishna. And then when he gets to Dwarka, what does he discover? That Krishna's left the planet. And not only does he discover that Krishna's left the planet, but he's Dwarka's being flooded, and he's bringing some of Krishna's wives away from Dwarka, and then he's not even able to defend Krishna's wives, who are being attacked by these cowherds. Of course, the cowherds, as described by the Acharyas, are expansions of Krishna, so it's not that, you know, an unchaste thing, or, you know, they're being violated in any way, shape, or form. But still, you know, he's just like, his whole world, I can actually understand what Yugayatam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravashayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vidahename, but from reading this chapter, more than I can from reading about the gopis. I have to be honest. And that doesn't mean I'm a coward boy or in a friendship process with Krishna. It just means that based on our conditioning, we can read certain things and help us understand other things. You understand? That's why the Bhagavatam is just like arranged so strategically from first canto all the way to, you know, 12th canto, but, you know, really to the 10th canto at this particular point. And it just, you can't understand the 10th canto without understanding it. So anyway, so I'm going to read. So this is, so Yudhisthira Maharaj has seen, the previous chapter, Yudhisthira Maharaj has seen all these inauspicious signs, like the she-jackals, you know, vomiting fire and everything like that. Actually, that was the first chapter I heard when I came to the, first time I came to the Hare Krishna movement. It was the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And it was applied improperly by the person giving class, because the person giving class was saying, all these things are going to happen to you unless you join immediately. And then, you know, he said, the jackals of fire, vomiting fire, this is calling you, you better join. And he looked at me, you better join. And that was Amarendra, actually. You better... So that was my introduction to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the 14th chapter. So anyway, Yudhisthira Maharaj has seen all these inauspicious symptoms, and then Arjuna comes, and, you know, Arjuna can't even talk about what he's seen or what he's heard or whatever. And so this chapter is dealing, the 15th chapter is dealing with it. And listen to this. It begins with, verse 1 of the 15th chapter of the first canto. Sutta Goswami is speaking. Arjuna, the celebrated friend of Lord Krishna, was grief-stricken because of his strong feelings of separation from Krishna. Over and above all Maharaj Yudhisthira's speculative inquiries, due to grief, Arjuna's mouth and lotus-like heart had dried up. You know, this also, it's a very picturesque, you know, just like, I can actually picture it, you know, like I said, because of my particular situation in this world. Therefore, his body had lost all luster. Now, remembering the Supreme Lord, he could hardly utter a word in reply. Now, remember, and we're going to talk about this in a few seconds, that Krishna was his best buddy. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, you hear how he used to lie on the same bed with Krishna, and then sometimes Krishna would, you know, just like friends would say, hey, Hey, Partha. You know, Partha, you know, I'm sure they had pet names too. And he would say, hey, Chris, you know, what are you doing? I know. I know, but I'm just trying to put it into a particular scenario that we can understand. That here's two buddies, they're going places, and sometimes, you know, in India, you know, you have friends who actually would sleep on the same bed together. You know, it's a very common thing. In America, it's not that common. But it's just, you know, they're just like buddies. They're just so close. With great difficulty, he checked the tears of grief that smeared his eyes. He was very distressed because Lord Krishna was out of his sight, and he increasingly felt affection for him. Remembering Lord Krishna and his well wishes, benefactions, intimate familial relations, and his chariot driving, Arjuna, overwhelmed and breathing very heavily, began to speak. And Arjuna said, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. You know, so his whole life was based on his friendship with Krishna. Thus my astounding power, which would astonish even the demigods, is no longer with me. I've lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void like bodies without fire. So there's that neat Yugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Purvashayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vidahena Me. You know, right here in this 15th chapter of the first canto. I have just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable. Yugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Purvashayatam. And void, here's the Shunyayatam, the same word is there, like bodies without fire. Without life, sorry, fire. and then he talks about how he was able to vanquish all the lusty princes. And this is a very heroic statement right there. And I'm going to skip about some of the heroic stuff. I can read that. It's interesting. Because he was near me, it was possible for me to conquer with great dexterity the powerful king of heaven, Indradeva, along with his demigod associates, and thus enable the fire god to devastate the Kandava forest. And only by his grace was the demon Maya saved from the blazing Kandava forest, and thus we could build our assembly house of wonderful architectural workmanship, where all the princes assembled during the performance of the Rajasuya Yajna and paid you tribute. So he's just like going through his memories. Just like, you know, when someone passes away or you lose someone's association, you actually flash back, isn't it? To all the time you spent together. I know, even with my mother, she passed away, and of course she had Krishna's association. But immediately some of the things would just begin to flash back. All of her, you know, my interactions with it, not all the interactions with her. So he's having this flashback here of all these interactions. Your respectable younger brother possesses the strength of 10,000 elephants, it's Bhimsen, of course, killed by his grace, Jarasandha, whose feet were worshipped by many kings. These kings have been brought for sacrifice in Jarasandha's Mahabhairava Yajna, but they were thus released. Later they were paid tribute. They paid tribute to your majesty. Anyway, so he goes over all these different remembrances. It was only by his influence, I'm skipping a little, it was by his influence only that in a fight, this text 12, I was able to astonish the personality of God, Lord Shiva, and his wife, the daughter of the Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapon. Other demigods also deliver their respective weapons to me. In addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planets in this present body and was allowed a half-elevated seat. There's a lot of verses, and I wanted to get the commentaries. So let's get more to the personal interaction. Text 18. O king, his jokings and frank talks were pleasing and beautifully decorated with smiles. His addresses unto me as O son of Pritha, O friend, O son of the Kuru dynasty, and all such heartiness are now remembered by me, and thus I'm overwhelmed. Generally, both of us used to live together and sleep, sit, and loiter together. And at this time of advertising oneself for acts of chivalry, sometimes, if there were any irregularity, I used to reproach him by saying, my friend, you are very truthful. You know, like a sarcastic statement. So it's, you know, isn't it? And so it's indicating the really, like, deep relationship. You can't do that with just, like, acquaintances, normal acquaintances, but people you can tease and everything. So he had, a teasing relationship with Krishna. Even those hours when his value was minimized, he, being the Supreme Soul, used to tolerate all those utterings of mine, excusing me exactly as a true friend excuses his true friend, or as a father excuses his son. O Emperor, now I am separated from my friend and dearmost well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appears to be void of everything in his absence. In other words, there's that expression, void again. Shunyayitam. In his absence, I have been defeated by a number of infidel coward men while I was guarding the bodies of all the wives of Krishna. I have the same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses, and I use them as the same Arjun to whom all the kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at a moment's notice, have become null and void. There's the word void again. So, it really helps me understand the gopis by reading this. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes. In other words, useless. That example of clarified butter on ashes used by Lord Kapiladev, that if one serves the deity but doesn't serve the Vaishnavas, it's like offering clarified butter on ashes. Accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. These are all expressions of shunyayitam. You know, void. Everything's useless. Nothing has any meaning. So this is very interesting. Now I'm attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they're impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Sudha Goswami says, thus being absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship and thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free of all material contamination. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna, rapidly increased his devotion. As a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the Personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case, and again, he became the Lord of his senses. So, anyway, this is just something that impressed me in regard to what we're reading, because I really want to understand somehow or other, at least to an inkling of what the gopis are feeling. Yeah, questions? Yeah, there's also from Uddhava's expressions and words too. So, but this is something I just read, and it just really struck me. Wow, the emotional intensity of this. I can relate to it. I mean, just to be honest, I can relate to it. Not because I'm on that level, but because it's Arjuna, it's a friendship type of thing. So let me read some of the commentaries. We have a few minutes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, taking the gopis by holding their hands, samyak adaya, he approached the bank of the Yamuna and appeared especially vishesha bhave, splendid vya urochite. This verb from the previous verse is to be added here. The splendor of the bank is described in 1.5 verses. On that bank, wind fragrant with blossoming kunda and mandara flowers blew. Because of that, the bees were circling around. Because it was near the river, the breeze was cool. Being the shelter of the bees, it was gentle. The darkness of the night was dispelled by the full moon of the autumn season. The bank gave great pleasure, Shivam, with hands in the form of waves. The Jamuna had spread out soft sand. So that's pretty much the same thing the verse describes. And Jiva Goswami states, two verses show another way in which his beauty was enhanced in a special way, Virochyata. He took each of them, each one of them, individually by his hand, some adhaya, in order to go to the bank more suitable than the previous one for the rasa dance. He came to the center of that area, Nirvisha. Being everywhere, Vivahu, he simultaneously appeared with each gopi to carry out pacification. The suitability of the bank for the rasa dance is described with ingredients acting as udipanas for their love. Now, this is something I guess I should explain, because that's one of the bhavas, or the things that stimulate the bhava. You know, the vibhava, a vibhava means something that stimulates your emotion, or stimulates your emotion in relationship to Krishna. Of course, we're talking about that. And so the vibhava is divided into two different categories, alambana and udipana. Alambana means directly Krishna, udipana means things that stimulate. I mean, just like in the material world, like if someone sees, you know, this morning I was walking and I saw the full moon, or apparently full, and, you know, it stimulates certain feelings, that not feelings of love for me, but but it can stimulate certain feelings. Let's say in very young people, they see the moon, and it just stimulates the feelings of lust in them. So that's an udipana, a material udipana for the people who are so-called in love, or a picture, or whatever. And alambana is the direct manifestation of the person. So directly Krishna would be an alambana, which would stimulate his love, not someone's love. And the banks of the Yamuna, or the sand on the banks of the Yamuna, would be unadipana, so stimulated. Just the soft breeze and everything, these are all stimulations. The breeze was cool, fragrant, and soft, since there were bees in it. The rays of the moon made the place most fragrant. The fullness of the moon destroyed the darkness of night. It was as light as daytime. The Yamuna was Krishna's friend, having the same name and color. Thus with her hands she spread sand. She gets her name Krishna because she attracts Krishna's heart with her variegated beauty. And actually there was a discussion between the sages, like, who is more dear to Krishna, the Ganges or the Yamuna? And it turned out the Yamuna is more dear to Krishna. Vrindavanam Govardhanam Yamuna Pulinani Cha Viksha Sedutama Priti Rama Madhavayohornipa. O King Parikshit, when Balaram and Krishna saw Vrindavan Govardhan on the banks of the river Yamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. You know, that's stimulating their pleasure. Bhagavatam 10.11.36. By spreading the sand with her hands, the place became even and devoid of hard spots. Or he entered the middle of the bank area, Nivisha, with the gopis, Samadaya, and he remained there in a special way, Vibhu. This means he revealed his powers. Then the revelation of his power is described in the next two verses. So I think we'll end here. And the reason I brought that part of the Bhagavatam is just to help us understand that there's very deep, like, intense emotions going on simultaneously. I mean, not only with the gopis, but also the Yamuna, in serving Krishna in such a way, you know, spreading out the sand to make it very, very soft, is intensely, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param, is intensely designed to please Krishna. It's not just like, well, I got to please Krishna, let me do this. Yeah, I want to please Krishna. But there, in Vrindavan, the emotions are extremely intense. Extremely, it's like a roller coaster. You know, roller coaster, you go up, you go down, it's just like screaming, intense. And that's actually the methodology to become Krishna conscious, as the Bhagavatam states, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Tivra Bhakti means forceful, basically forceful, intense, or then you have the other expressions like lalyam, the price of pure devotional service, you know, is tears, lalyam, intense, hankering. So that's how we can enter into Vrindavan, the Vrindavan mood or pure devotional mood, by developing this intense feeling. I remember my godbrother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he would always talk about how that he was opening up an ashram, a crying ashram. You know, so not that we want people in Bhagavatam class to be crying, literally. But, you know, if you listen to some of his classes, they're pretty intense. Well, very intense. So this is how we should be performing our devotional service, you know, Krishna. And if we read the Shikshashtra, we read this part of the Bhagavatam, then we can understand the intensity of the love and the devotion and service attitude of the devotees like Arjuna, and, of course, what to speak of the gopis. So any questions or comments? We've got 2.5 more minutes. Yes?
I never considered that the full moon incites what the desires. Is that a kind of common phenomenon?
I have no idea. I'm a sannyasi, but, you know, people look at it and they become romantic. Yeah. I mean, I've heard poems like that, you know, that, you know, people just look at the moon and they think of their beloved walking in the... And, you know, that's also why in Krishna Leela, the moon stays full for the whole Rasa Leela dance.
And it's not just the moon, it's the quality of the light.
Yeah, the quality of the light.
How everything kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of yeah.
There's this... it's a cooling... It just somehow there affects the mind in that way. Of course, sometimes people get really crazy. They're called lunatics. Because on the full moon day, people's minds become so affected, you'll see in the hospital they actually have more people check in on that particular day. But
it also increases the tides.
Really affects the tides are the gravity from the moon.
And everything that connects
to
us also.
Yeah, internally. And spiritually, but there's this place in around Govardhan called Chandra Sarovara, which is a lake where Krishna danced the Rasa dance, and that's really one of the places, at least, where the moon was full for a whole night of Lord Brahma. You know, so you see, like, Krishna's Rasa dances generally are described on the full moon day. Shat Purnima, Sarat Purnima, for example, the Rasa dance. So there's something about the moon. It's spiritual, too. It's not just... Like Krishna, of course, is not getting affected like by the gravity, like we would, our bodies in the moon. But there's a spiritual influence of the moon. And in the spiritual world, there's the moon, too. That's described by the acharyas. But the moon is not the same moon we have here. But there are many poems about moons stimulating romance, which I call lust. And I excuse me for using that expression. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shri Radha Gaurakananda Ki Jai.
No Vrindam Hari Purusham Bhajami Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Enam Kam
Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Channa Bhulai. Gota Dindra, Yahum Maya, Pisa Tira Kolei. Mahajibo, Maniai se, Samsara Vitaregi. Buriya, Rovine to me, Happy Jagarumbare. Tomare, laite ame, oinu avatara. Ami bina, manu ara, ke ache tomara. Ene che ochchoni maya shiparu nagiri. Hatinam mantra lao tu me mage. Kate vinod apramo charane puriya. Mm-hmm. Jai Hari Naam Mantra Lohi Naam Kiya. Jeev Jago Ji Jago Guru Chanda Polai Kotanandra Jau Maya Pisatira Kolei Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hare Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hare Govinda Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Goloka Nanu Radha Goloka Nanu Radhe. Radha Goloka Nanu Radha Goloka Nanu Radhe. Jaya Radhe, 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 Radhe. Nayaran, hey! Nayarate, 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 hey! I see Rod, Jai Om Vishnupad, Padamahansa Paravadakacharya, also Teta, Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace of Ayat, Hadadada Bhaktivananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Say Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Srivasi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Kunrada Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrinda Avanam Ki Jai, Maturam Kijai, Jagadatha Sami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhakti. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Ma Om Vishnu Padai Krishna Pastai Bhutai Srimadha Bhakti. Stasis, what do you believe? Stasis, nobody. So, read. Lord Gaurachandra is calling, wake up, sleeping soul. Wake up, sleeping soul. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? You've forgotten the way of devotional service and are lost in the cycle of birth and death. I have descended just to save you. I am your only true friend. Other than me, what friend do you have? I have brought the medicine that will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you suffer. Take this great chant for deliverance. Maha Mantra, the names of Hari. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, falling at the Lord's lotus feet, take shelter of the Hari Nam Mantra, the Lord's holy names. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Ki Jai.
Thank you.